Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Landry, the governor of the great state of Louisiana. Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
So, Governor, there's been a lot going on over the past couple of weeks, obviously, with the federal government being shut down, as well as the city of New Orleans looking for their $125 million bond issue on short-term revenue bonds to help them get out of the predicament that they're in. And during the course of both of these conversations, you mentioned many times about an initiative that you started called Louisiana DOGE. Let's talk about that for a moment and what are the top line issues that you're attacking at the state budget level.
So let me bring you all the way back, I guess, almost 10 years ago when I went into the Attorney General's office. One of the first things we did, of course, remember the dire fiscal crisis that the state was in 10 years ago and seemed to have consistently been in up until the last couple of years. And and we instituted our own, we called it the Fiscal Responsibility Project. That's what we did. And a gentleman by the name of Steve Orlando, who's a business owner, came in. He always complains about the amount that government spends. And so I gave him an opportunity to put his money where his mouth is and come in and volunteer his time. And we consistently, over 8 years, stayed within a pretty static budget over at the AG's office. You know, we kind of ate what we killed and were able to withstand a number of the budget reductions that happened during that particular time. And so we took the lessons learned from that and then came into state government as the governor and started working inside the budget with him and brought Steve back in and Taylor. And then we added a couple of more people. And over the last couple of months, it's now almost 2 years, we have seen significant savings. I mean, when we first started the program, we went in and we noticed $1 million worth of cell phone bills that were just not being used. These were cell phones laying around in drawers and whatnot that we were paying for data plans on. We went through the leases, contracts. We then instituted a 10% efficiency program inside the entire cabinet, where we challenged our cabinet members to go in and try to find a 10% reduction in their budget. And of course, some of them, it's pretty challenging. So like if you're the LDH secretary and your budget is, $18 billion, 10% is a lot of money. But we also did some things when the DOGE effort at the federal level came into play. We were actually one of the only states that actually worked with that DOGE office, and we scoured and filtered through our Medicaid records, and we ended up with like a $70 million savings on that because we kicked people off who were not in the state of Louisiana, people who were illegal aliens and were receiving benefits, and even some of those folks that were deceased that were still receiving benefits on them. And so, and we just met. I met with the cabinet actually yesterday, so your time is pretty good. And we have a very, very great story that we're going to tell right at the end of the year, which I think is going to be eye-opening. we're just trying to find efficiencies inside of our state government so that we can be responsible with the taxpayers' money.
I have been very surprised and mystified by sometimes the public's reaction to gaining efficiencies, making cuts where necessary, identifying abuses, and then providing remedial action. I mean, we've seen this move across the country as it relates to DOGE efforts at the federal level. I'm certain that you've heard the criticisms of the DOGE efforts at the state level as well. I think that's a fiduciary obligation of an elected official to make sure that you're running the leanest, meanest organization possible, right?
Oh, look, I do. And the other thing, too, is that one of the things that we're finding, I think this is what's important as well, is that we've been doing the same thing over and over again. And some of those things are completely outdated. And some of the savings that we're taking, we're recognizing, we're then trying to plow back into technology that creates a structural change for so that those savings become more permanent. I mean, look, I remember when I was at AG's office, I walked in and we were still using like Windows 95. I mean, like, and we were in 2015. You don't know. I mean, it's like ridiculous. I mean, the efficiencies that you get using technology today, if you're not taking advantage of that, you're wasting the taxpayers' money. Look, we're doing it. We were the first governor finally said, you know what, we're not going to kick the can down the road over at OMB. And we're actually putting in place a platform on a way that we renew and get our driver's license and register our vehicles. And we haven't seen the nightmares of the past because we're on a system. We're currently patched up on a system that was built in the 1970s. And so all those things are things that we're doing to bring Louisiana into a modern era. And we're not just saying, oh, just give me more money and we're doing it. We're trying to, again, find efficiencies inside the department and then institute those particular savings so that we actually have structural changes. And I got to tell you, the cabinet has been just great in doing that. And I think the public is going to start to, and they've already started to see some of those particular changes. Look, when I came in, the OMV platform that they wanted us to use to get a new one, they wanted $100 million. And we were able to negotiate that down to $30 million. You know, and so sometimes I think it's just a matter of getting to the table and actually negotiating these things out and just not signing it up because you just need it.
And for the benefit of the listening audience, OMV is the Office of Motor Vehicles, where you go and you get your license renewed, register your vehicles, and all of that. And historically, there's always been fairly long lines. A lot of great people that work there, but as you said, when you have antiquated technology, it's hard to make it work. Let's pivot real quick. The federal government shutdown obviously has impacted states across this country. What is the state of the state of Louisiana as it relates to some of these federal programs, SNAP being one of them, and your thoughts about that and what y'all have done?
Look, I think it's important for everyone to recognize that the state of Louisiana is the only state in the country where SNAP benefits, where no one went without some sort of benefit. No one. Okay. We worked with the legislature to first categorize the elderly and the disabled and then children. And we said, look, if it goes a whole month, we think we can cover them. And then we did segregate out the able-bodied people. Why? Because we could send those able-bodied people to food banks and we encourage them to get off of the program if they really didn't need it and seek out some of the great job opportunities that are out there. But, you know, I think the important part is that our ability to show that kind of extreme compassion would not have been possible had we not done the DOGE efforts that you just talked about. I mean, the ability for LDH to recognize the cost savings they had helped to further implement the ability of the state to take care of some of those benefits. And then the legislature responded accordingly. So we've gone – here's an interesting thing, too, and I've watched this. We will most likely be – the first administration and this legislature, the first legislature, to go 4 solid years without a fiscal crisis in 35 years. Think about that. I mean, that's pretty astounding. And I think it's due to the hard work that the legislature and I have done. Of course, we've been blessed by the great economic opportunities and the robust job creations that have occurred because of the projects that we've been able to land here in the state of Louisiana. And so, like, right now, Louisiana is looking towards a very, very bright and prosperous future.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
When we talk about the ACA subsidies being permanent, what does that actually mean monetarily to the state of Louisiana, and how we, the construct of the program that we're managing today? I know a lot of that is going to be a federal responsibility, but there is some that kind of slides off and shades off on state government, right?
Yeah, and you know, I have not been able to quite effectively wrap my arms around what that impact is going to be. That's the next topic for our discussion. We've just been kind of drowning in a food stamp program crisis that we finally righted. And so Bruce Greenstein and I and the LDH team, who, by the way, they're doing a fabulous job, Jumarento, Bruce, that whole group out there, all of the folks that worked on this, did an outstanding job. Like I said, we were the only state under which there was no crisis, where no one actually went without the ability to access food. And so our next topic is going to be, what exactly is that impact going to have? How do we do it? Here's what we know. We know that we want to take people from dependence to independence. And we know that the best way to do that is to create more job opportunities and to raise the standard of living in Louisiana. And the $70 billion plus of jobs, $70 billion worth of private investment that we brought, which equates now to 114,000 new job opportunities open in the state of Louisiana. And per capita, that puts Louisiana as number one in job opportunities in the country. And so those are things that give people to move from dependence to independence. And they're not just low-wage jobs. They're great-paying jobs. They require some skill sets. And of course, we're working through our community college system and with our high schools to try to really catch up on that as well. And so, again, that will help us to offset a potential ACA crisis.
No, absolutely, for sure. No doubt about it. Let's pivot again because we have limited time and we appreciate your time. The city of New Orleans goes up to the bond commission asking for the $125 million. There was a little angst and anxiety at the beginning of that process. Are you pleased with the outcome?
Yeah, I am. I'm pleased. I think it's important to recognize that had I not sent a letter to the treasurer several weeks ago, we wouldn't have taken the deep dive that we absolutely needed to. And I know it may have caused some anxiety, but it was something that needed to be done because we wanted to understand exactly what was going on. And I think that getting them an opportunity to go before the Fiscal Review Committee and the Fiscal Review Committee signing off saying, okay, look, under this plan, we feel comfortable letting the Bond Commission take this up. And if the Bond Commission passes it, we're fine. And I think that the way that it's structured is probably the most responsible way that we could. Number one, the thing that I want to know is, where is the money? Like, why did the city get into this hole? And I think that just getting a fiscal administrator in would not have answered that question. I think that where we are right now is that the legislative auditor is going to go back in and going to report to us where the money was spent. I think the taxpayers of this state and the citizens in New Orleans as well deserve to know that answer. And I think that over, you know, between now and next year, we've put the city in a position under which they can make the payroll. And but we know that they have to make some budgetary realignments. We want them to be as responsible as we've been at the state level. And we want them to be independent as well. We don't want them coming to the bond commission and us to have to, you know, approve a loan.
You have made a commitment early on in your administration in helping the city out. I don't know about you, but this particular administration that exists today, the last day of that administration is actually on my birthday, January 11th, and I've said that it might be my best birthday ever, not to make light of the fact. But I have to imagine that your confidence level of the incoming administration is a lot more than it's been of the previous.
Yeah, look, I'm hopeful that it's not only a new mayor, but a new council as well, to large part. And certainly with the mayor being coming from the council, I would hope that there's a lot more continuity and cooperation between those two branches. And again, I think that what we did yesterday in the bond commission gives them an opportunity. I mean, look, the money that we gave them is being checked and held by the legislative auditor. We're making sure that the invoices and the payroll that's being paid is done so properly, and so that the chance of us getting to a point next year under which the money disappeared again and they need more is limited.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to a topic that has been bantered about. I'm not sure where the truth lies, but a lot of sports writers around the country are saying that you, Jeff Landry, as the governor of the state of Louisiana, personally fired Brian Kelly. There's been a fallout of that. Your assessment of that situation and your role?
Yeah, look, I think it's wrong. First of all, I did not fire Brian Kelly. I answered that question emphatically in front of the sports writer that was at the press conference when we announced the great work we were doing for the food stamp program under the Schumer shutdown. And I didn't. And I don't have the power to fire the governor. I mean, the coach. The governor doesn't have the power to do that. But neither does the athletic director unilaterally. Okay. And of course, that's a question that's up for litigation now. And so I got to be careful exactly how I answer that question. But either way, the only reason that I stepped into that, two reasons that I stepped into that breach was, number one, we didn't have a president in place, which I wish we'd have had that done in the summer. But neither here nor there, we got one today. Number two was the fact that the contract, which I spent a lot of time on that Sunday pouring through the details of that contract, led me to believe that it's a terrible contract, which is why, I think the AD left him and the board of supervisors came to an agreement that it was time for him to go. And I think it was. Because when you looked at that contract, it was terrible. Knew it. It left the taxpayers on the hook for $54 million. I don't care what anybody says that it's never happened and that taxpayers have never paid a bill. And I hope that taxpayers don't pay this one. The sad news, though, is that if no one steps up or a group of people don't step up to pay, and we got to pay $54 million, then it's going to be on the backs of the taxpayers to pay that. Now, they're not going to be happy if that happens. I won't be either.
No, not at all.
Right. And I'll give you an example. Let me show you the nefarious provisions in this contract, okay? Like I was going back through it the other day. Let me tell you something. There is a clause in this contract that said that if Brian Kelly left on his own before the end of the contract, he would owe liquidated damages or he would have to pay LSU a penalty for leaving. That's fair, because if we fired him with no cause, we have to pay a penalty, right? Then yeah. There's a – you got to do a break?
Go ahead. We got another minute. Go ahead.
So look, there's a clause in it that says if the AD is not there, that Brian Kelly could leave without any liquidated damages. Think about that. I mean, how nefarious is that? The AD can leave, and the coach can leave with him, and LSU just sits there with no penalties. It goes to show you that there was a lot more at play when that contract was first written than meets the eye. And I think that the more we get into that, the more people are going to recognize that the moves that we've made at LSU, which were not pretty, were absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I'd like to get $54 million. Governor, you asked me to leave.
Well, you know, I tell you, it'd be tempting if you showed up offering me $54 million as well. No? Nope.
I was going to ask you that question, but I didn't think it was going to be fair. So.
I'd have to think long and hard.
Sometimes the webs we weave, Mike.
Yeah.
The webs we weave.
I wouldn't offer that to my wife now.
Well, Governor, we know that you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it, and have a great week.
Okay, take care. Have a great weekend. All right.
Thank you, Governor. That's Governor Jeff Landry of the great state of Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.